Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening. I want to begin reading with verse 17. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers. Notice the difference in the word father in verse 17 and the word fathers in verse 18. One is in reference to deity. Others here are referred to as fathers on earth or earthly fathers. Verse 19, but with the precious, everybody say precious. Let's say it together, precious. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower fadeth thereof, or the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I want to direct your attention back to verse 19. This is where, I want to read verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers. Notice verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And I simply want to preach the precious blood of the Lamb, the precious blood of the Lamb. Let's lift up our hands and our voices to the Lord. Let's pray for God's help here tonight and the remainder of our service. Pray his touch upon this house. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I'm asking God that you would help us tonight. You would strengthen us through the word of the Lord. I'm asking God that your spirit would take hold tonight in the hearts of your people. Stir us up. God, draw us closer. I pray, Lord, that you, through the blood of Jesus, would right some wrongs tonight. You would strengthen, you would heal, that you would replenish, that you would restore. We thank you and praise you for it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's lift up the name of the Lord. How many loves him tonight? Praise God. I thank you, Lord. I love you, Savior. Thank you so much for standing, and you may be seated. The blood is the only element in the body that reaches and affects and fuels all other parts of the human body. This rich, reddish elixir flows silently through the cardiovascular system like cars on a busy street, and it carries the cargo of much-needed oxygen molecules and nutrients that are necessary to sustain life in every cell of the human body. And if for some reason the flow of blood is restricted from any member of the body, that member will eventually asphyxiate and die. Every member, every limb and organ in the human body needs the blood and cannot survive without the blood. Along with its many duties, the blood carries protective properties like white blood cells that defend against infections and disease that attack the body. The physical body, we know in the scripture, parallels in many ways with the mystical body of Christ, or what we call and term as the church. Romans 12 and 4 says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another." Let me stop and say tonight that we often only speak of the blood as it pertains to sinners. And I could spend the rest of the evening preaching about the power of the blood, the necessity of the blood, and how that the blood can affect a sinner's life and change that sinner into a saint. I believe that the blood is necessary. I don't believe, no matter how unpopular it becomes, that we should ever stop preaching or singing or talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible said he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This all started, it all began, and it's still based upon the blood of Jesus. It still takes the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from sin. It still takes the blood of Jesus to deliver you. It still takes the blood of Jesus to make a real change in your life. I know people can go to support groups, and I advocate that. I know that people can visit counselors, and that's fine too. I know that people can go here and there and read and study and try to learn how to better their lives, and if that improves you, then I'm not against it. But I'm going to tell you that there's one thing that is for sure. It takes the blood of Jesus to be redeemed. It takes the blood of Jesus to be whole. It takes the blood of Jesus to be saved. Amen. When the blood is applied to a person's life, when a person is born again, amen, there is a change that takes place. There is a total revolution that takes place. They are totally a new man, a new woman, a new individual. They are different from that moment. I don't believe that the blood can touch you and you remain the same. Because the blood carries life with it. You were dead in trespasses of sin. But when God's blood touches you, you become alive. Amen. You have power through the Spirit of God. Amen. That you could be changed. That you don't have to continue to be that old person. You don't have to continue to be that old individual. You don't have to walk in those old ways. You don't have to continue to be addicted. You don't have to continue to be the person that you was. But you are changed by the blood of Jesus. Many of us in this room have experienced that change. We know what it is to come to an altar, a wretched sinner. And it doesn't matter if you was raised around Pentecost. All of us have had to have the blood applied to our lives. Every one of us in this building have had to come the same way. We all come through the door of the altar, if you will. That's the gate into the kingdom of God. There's no other way but coming by the altar. In fact, in the Old Testament tabernacle, and then again in the Old Testament temple, the first thing that you was confronted with, and the most imposing piece of furniture in the entire tabernacle compound, was the altar. It was the largest piece of furniture that you would find, and it was the first piece of furniture that you was confronted with after entering the gate into the compound of the tabernacle. The first thing that you was to come to was the altar. Can I tell you that the altar is still the gateway to heaven? The altar is still the only way that you can come into the kingdom of God. And it was there that we repented of our sins. And God, in his mercy, aren't you thankful for a merciful God? Aren't you thankful for a God that when you didn't deserve it, he still done it for you? When you've done nothing that is worthy of it, you could still attain it. You could still have it. You could still possess it.
I came to an altar. I said, God, I'm not offering you a whole lot. I've got a life that is riddled. I've got a life that is marred by sin. I've got a life that has been ravaged by the things of this world. But I give it to you, and I repent of those sins. And God, in his goodness, God, in his mercy, God, in his love towards humanity, forgives us of those sins. Amen. I want to talk about the power of forgiveness. Amen. I want to talk about how good God is to show mercy towards us. While we were yet sinners, God in his love died for us. He cared enough about you while you were still smoking dope to die and to shed blood. He cared enough about you even though you've been resistant and you have not yielded to it. He still loved you enough to die for you. The Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And when you repent, oh, repentance is a powerful thing. You can never underestimate repentance. God in the scripture totally changed his mind about judgment. He totally changed his mind about what he was going to do to the people that had resisted him and rebelled against him. But when they repented, he said, I was going to do this, but I can't ignore repentant people. I can't ignore people that are contrite. I cannot ignore people that will build an altar. I cannot ignore people that get on their knees and cry out to me and say, God, I'm sorry. God, I need a change. God, I need your help. Praise the Lord. Have you ever been there where you needed to repent? Have you ever been there when you needed to fall on your knees and say, God, I fall on your mercy. I need you. I need you one more time to forgive me. I know I'm not deserving of it. I know I'm not worthy of it. But God, I need you to forgive me. Every one of us have been there. The Lord, I needed to access the blood of Jesus. I needed him to cleanse me. Somebody said, where was the blood of Jesus applied? Every place in the tabernacle I find blood. From the very beginning to the very end, from the very altar where the sacrifice was made all the way to the holies of holies, there's blood. So there's blood all the way through this deal. We need to stop fussing and fighting about where it's applied and where it begins and just realize it starts at repentance. But it doesn't end there. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. And once baptized in Jesus' name, you need to go to the holies of holies and get the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's blood all the way through. Amen. Praise the Lord. I need the blood of Jesus. I want to walk in his blood. Amen. I don't know about you, but I rely upon the blood of Jesus. I haven't learned how to be holy enough. I haven't learned how to be good enough. I haven't got to the place that I've graduated from my need of the blood of Jesus. But every day, God, I need your mercy. Aren't you thankful that his mercy is fresh every morning? Aren't you thankful for the grace of God that is shared and shed abroad to every one of us? Oh, we ought to thank the Lord right now for his mercy. We ought to thank the Lord right now that he saved us. You know what? The blood can cleanse things. I'm jumping ahead a little bit here. The blood can eradicate things in the sinner's life. That's true. I was preaching revival in southeast Texas down around the Golden Triangle. And I was in a church there that had been there for many, many years. And at the end of the service, we gave an altar call. And there was this lady that was very distraught. She came up to the altar. And I watched her there for a little while as people were gathered around and they were praying for her. And it was seeming, it seemed like that she could not really break through. She was not getting where she wanted to go in her prayer. And so I went down and began to talk to her and began to talk to her about the forgiveness of the Lord and God's ability to forgive and cleanse and restore. And the blood of Jesus was able to wash away her sins. And she looked at me and she said, do you really believe that? Amen. She looked me dead in the eye. I'll never forget the look on her face. Do you really believe that, preacher? Because you don't know what I've done. You don't know what sin I have committed. You don't know how bad that I have been. Come to find out, in self-defense, she had taken a man's life. She had killed a person, and this was on her conscience. And she was dealing with this, and she didn't feel like God could forgive her. And I looked at her, and I told her, I said, God is able to forgive you. God can cleanse you and wash you of that. And she began to pray a little further, and I'm happy to report that she prayed through to the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. I feel it even in this room right now. People say, well, you don't understand how big an issue I have, how big of a problem I've got, how big of a sin that it is. Can I tell you, just like the song said, there's bigger sins than that beneath the blood. Somebody needs to trust and believe and have a renewed faith in the blood of Jesus, that it is powerful enough. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole and new again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, it can do what counseling can do. It can do what all of the remedies of this world cannot do. The blood of Jesus can eradicate guilt. It can eradicate condemnation. It can eradicate intimidation of the enemy. It can eradicate whatever your past is. It can make you whole. It can make you well. If the blood can only touch you. You know, it doesn't matter to a doctor how much medicine he's able to pump into a human body to fight an infection. If there's no blood flow to where that problem is in the body, or if there's limited blood flow, then he realizes he's going to be limited. It doesn't matter how powerful the antibiotic is. It doesn't matter what kind of dosage that he uses. If there's some type of obstruction, for instance, my cousin was shot, and he lost blood flow to his right leg. And just within 24 hours, certainly within 2 days, his leg began to discolor, and you could tell that it was literally dying while still connected to his body. There was infection, gangrene, that was setting in, and they said there's no blood flow, or a very limited amount of blood. It's not reaching all the extremities. It's not making it everywhere that it needs to make it. And so after a few days, of course, his leg had to be amputated. Amen. You know, we're so quick sometimes to just discard and amputate and cut off. Amen. When God wants to take the obstruction and the blood clot out of the way and say, God, I want you to heal. I want you to restore. I want you to make alive again. I remember my uncle, who's also a preacher, he was standing there over the bedside of his son with the doctors. They was examining the leg, and he said, you got to admit, doctor, there's a little bit of life here. There's a little bit of pinkness in this leg. It hasn't lost all of its life. We're trying to fight for, he said, literally down to inches, I was trying to fight so that he could save the knee mechanism of his leg so that they wouldn't amputate it up higher. And finally, he said, well, we really want to take the leg off of the hip, but at your insistence, we're going to try to make it work going below the knee. And he fought for every inch of life that was there. I wonder if that kind of spirit could get within the church. I wonder if that kind of attitude could get in this building tonight, that we'll fight for every inch. We'll fight if there's any hope, if there's any life, if there's anything that we can grasp a hold of and hang on to. We're willing to do it because we realize if we can only get this claw out of the way, if we can only open up the veins again and get the blood flowing, as it were, the blood is going to bring life. The blood of Jesus is going to bring hope again. We think about the blood as it only pertains to sinners, but according to the Word of God, every member of the body of Christ needs the continual circulation of the blood of Jesus. For without the blood, we cease to have proof. I want you to listen to me, of sonship.
Isn't the blood what is tested by physicians to determine and verify who the father of the child is? And without the blood, we're not legitimate children of God. Without the blood, we're the pseudo heirs trying to receive promises that are only for God's children. If the life is in the blood, as the Bible says that it is, then our strength comes from it. That is why Satan hates. You hear what I'm saying? That's why he hates and despises the blood of Jesus, because not only did it redeem us, but it's what continues to give us life. It's what continues to defeat the devil every day. It's what continues to make us overcomers. That ought to make somebody shout and happy in this house. That ought to make somebody want to respond in this place to know that that blood did not only redeem me, is what the preacher's been saying tonight, but it also makes me an overcomer every day, every day, every day. When I wake up in the morning, if I've got his blood, if I've got his blood covering me, there's no devil in hell that can stand against me. There's no temptation that can overcome me. There's no demonic spirit that can overtake me. If I got the blood of Jesus, I've got power to overcome the devices of hell. Oh, somebody praise the Lord for the blood. Hebrews 9, 14 and 15, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. We understand, we know that we are connected. We are a part. We know you not, the scripture says, that we are the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're connected. We're a part of the body of Christ through the blood of Jesus. Lost a lot of our teaching concerning the blood of Jesus in this generation. And we have learned a lot more, and this is important, about the Spirit of God. But we failed to teach people about the blood. And they work together. And we need them both. So consequently, we produced a generation of believers that are empowered by the Spirit. They understand the working of the Spirit, but they still feel sometimes unforgiven. They still struggle with their past. They still are constantly dealing with some kind of issue or problem that they have not had the faith to believe that is beneath the blood of Jesus. They feel condemned. They're operating in gifts, but they're living in guilt. Hear me tonight. The blood must be preached. The blood has to be told and talked about. It has to be emphasized, because without the blood, there is no life. The Bible tells me that without the preaching of the cross, amen, everything else is to no effect. I said everything else is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how eloquent, it doesn't matter how talented, it doesn't matter how skilled, it doesn't matter how what a wordsmith. If you can preach the paint off the walls, but if you don't have an understanding of the blood of Jesus, you're not helping nobody. It takes the blood. Oh, I would that it would pulsate through this place. The preaching of the cross and the blood will not weaken the church. But the contrary, I believe that it'll make the church more powerful when it understands and has a revelation of just how powerful that blood is. Amen. When we can call and access the blood. Come on, somebody right now, why don't you lift up your voice and say, thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Cleanse my mind. Cleanse my soul. Cleanse my spirit. Come on, church, let's pray together. Cleanse me, O Lord. Cleanse me, O Lord. Cleanse me, O Lord.
God, I feel the Holy Ghost right here, right now. I know this is simplistic tonight. I know some people consider this elementary, but I just felt this. I couldn't feel anything else. Amen. We need to understand that this blood is powerful. But our text not only called it powerful, it called it precious. When something's precious, it's valuable. Precious metals. He compared it. He said, you know, you think about silver and gold, precious metals. He said, but this blood's more precious than that. It's more valuable than that. And people want to chisel this valuable part of the church out. They want to chisel it out of the songbooks. They want to eradicate it from preaching. I'm going to tell you, there is no life without the blood. There is no power without the blood. There is no authority without the blood. There's no overcoming sin without the blood. Without him going to that cross and paying that price, none of us would have any reason to be here tonight. We would be doomed with a debt that we could not pay. But he paid that price. So he says, now there is no condemnation in them that are what? In what? The body of Christ that have access to the blood. The blood is flowing to them. So there's no more condemnation in them that are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. If you're connected to the body of Christ, that's why you need the church. That's why you can't get in the church by inheritance. You can't get in the church by your last name. You can't get in the church by your pedigree. You can't get in the church by simply attending the church. You got to be born in the church. God has no grandchildren. He has no great-grandchildren. He only has first-generation folks. Amen. People that's been born again all the same way. They all repented of their sin. They all been baptized in the name of Jesus. They all have received this wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. And the blood has been applied. I'm going to wrap this up. But we attempt to deal with our sin our own ways. It's like the person that tries to self-medicate. They try to doctor themselves when they got a deadly disease. That fellow that was in contact with Ebola said, I'm going to self-quarantine. 3 days later, he was out bowling. He needed his head. Maybe that stuff had already affected his brain. Self-quarantine. Amen. I understand what he's trying to say. But he got bored and he went out and bowled. And whoever he came in contact with was maybe in danger. People try to self-medicate. Well, I remember my, and this is humorous, but it's the truth. My grandfather had diabetes, something awful. And it probably could have been improved by a diet, but that was before I even knew what diets were. And he loved vanilla wafers and bananas. You know, I didn't find till Sister Susan busted my bubble one time. I said, man, I've been on this no carbohydrate diet. I've been eating the fire out of the bananas. And she said, man, them things are full of sugar. I said, you shouldn't have told me that. I was enjoying this diet so much. But I remember my grandfather eating vanilla wafers, whatever else on God's green earth he wanted. And then sitting down at night with his syringe of insulin and saying, see, I had a half a dozen vanilla wafers. And he'd keep pulling on that thing. I had 4 bananas. I had a couple Oreos. You can't operate like that. Trying to self-medicate. He didn't have no idea what his sugar level was. He was just kind of guesstimating. Yeah, man. You can't self-medicate. You can't do this on your own. Praise the Lord. Sin is deadly. You can't handle sin by yourself. You're a fool if you think you can fool with sin and dabble in sin and handle sin and it not affect you. And then you can take care of it on your own and deal with it by yourself. No, no, sir. No, no, ma'am. You need the blood of Jesus. You must some way access the blood of the Lamb. And I'm trying right now to take away all the blood clots. I'm trying right now to open up the gates and allow the blood to flow like it needs to in this house to help people. Because people in this place, it's affected your worship. It's affected, that condemnation has affected your ability to get victory. That condemnation has affected your ability to pray and to get a hold of God. And right now, tonight, the blood of Jesus wants to set you free. Adam tried to self-medicate. He said, we'll sew some fig leaves together here. We've sinned, but we can cover it up. Tried to put on those aprons. God said, no. Adam! He tried to hide behind a tree. Where art thou, Adam? Why are you playing hide and seek? You always meet me in the cool of the day. You see, what first of all was affected is his communion with God. Sin affected his prayer life, his ability to walk with God. When you are under condemnation, when you're under the load and the burden of sin, you cannot pray effectively like you need to. It's not until that's dealt with, until that repentance is made, that you get anywhere. Amen. You're just going in circles up until that point. Praise God. But when God said, I want you to understand this little thing you sewed together, that's not going to get the job done. And animals were slain, representing the shedding of blood. And God made him coats and her coats and put them upon them. Hallelujah. And that sin was dealt with. Why? Because there was the shedding of blood. No wonder why the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hallelujah. It takes blood, Adam. It takes something dying. It takes a price being paid. And I just want to stop here and say you're paying penance isn't going to get it. You're trying to pay it. Trying to make up for it yourself isn't going to get it. You got to have faith that the blood of Jesus has already retired the debt of sin. That God has already taken care of it. That Jesus went to a cross so that I could be free from this. You got to have that faith. I said, you got to have that faith. Amen. There's no other remedy but the blood of Jesus. There's no other alternatives but the blood of Jesus. God said, I'm going to send a death angel through the camp. He said, I want you to all take a lamb for every house. I want you to slay that lamb and eat it and take the blood of that lamb. And I want you to apply it to the doorpost and the lintel of your home. And when that death angel comes by, when it sees the blood, it'll pass over. That's where we get the word and the term Passover. It'll pass over. I want to tell you, there's a spirit of hell that is loose in this world that is trying to destroy. It's trying to dement. It's trying to take everything pure and everything godly. It's attacking every wholesome family. It's attacking every home and every marriage that is endeavoring to live for God. It's attacking every child, amen, of every family that has dedicated themselves and consecrated themselves to God. It's against you, amen. And the only thing that I know that it cannot affect is where the blood is applied. That's the only thing that it cannot get its hands on. You want to protect your children, get the blood in your house. Amen. You want to protect your family, get the blood on your home. Amen. What are you talking about? I'm talking about somebody needs to walk in the blood. Somebody needs to pray and plead the blood. Somebody needs to get the blood flowing in their life. Because there's a killer on the loose. It wants to destroy. But where the blood is, it has no access. It has no entry. You You cannot go there. No trespass. You're not allowed because of the blood of Jesus. You know, our nation, as always, had the organization called the Red Cross. And even on our military, some of our military vehicles, helicopters, jeeps, emergency vehicles, is that Red Cross symbol. It is part of the Geneva Convention that where that symbol is, the enemy, of course we know that enemies are enemies, but when they see that symbol, they're not to attack, because that's people that are there for humanitarian efforts. They're there to help. They're neutral. They're not in the battle itself. They're there as just medics, and they're there to help and aid people that have been wounded and are casualties of the battle. And that symbol, that Red Cross, is a sign. Don't attack. Hands off. You're not allowed, according to the law, international law, you're not allowed to attack where this symbol is. Oh, how many's thankful? How many's thankful for the blood? Devil, you're not allowed here. You can't attack me here. The blood of Jesus has been applied. Would you stand with me? Would you lift your hands with me right now? Would somebody thank God for the blood? Somebody thank God for the blood. Thank God for His blood.